Right, I agree with that one, for sure. Ish. It is money gear. Okay. So, this is a part of the Yom Yun on Amunah. Rav Horn asked me if I wanted to give a shir. I said, Amunah, I'm pretty much still in Poland. So we'll, I think everyone here went to Poland, huh? At some point. Whether in high school or now. Rebbe?
Yes, I did.
Nice name. What's your second name, by the way?
Yosef is my second name. First name is Zama.
Oh, how's that? Yosef Zev. So, this is a really, 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 really tough topic to understand, to come through. We can get a better understanding. There are a lot of topics in Judaism like this. That, like, for example, God, we try to understand God, right? So the Ramchal brings down in Das Atunus that the more we begin to understand God, the more we realize how little we know about God. The more and more we realize. The more we dig, the larger the hole gets. So this is one of those topics. Holocaust, faith, Emunah, all these different things. I'm gonna open up with a quote from the Blujiva Rebbe. And when you hear the Blujiva Rebbe, Yisrael Shapiro. So he made it through the Holocaust. He's a survivor. Okay, he went over to Brooklyn afterwards, and famous survivor. And he had this quote. He says, when Paro restored Isha Tabachim, the chief butler, to his position as foretold by Yosef HaTzadik in his interpretation of the butler's dream, he forgot Yosef. Okay, Yosef wasn't included. Pasuk says, yet did not the chief butler remember Yosef, but forgot him. Forgot him. Forgot Yosef. So why does the Torah use this repetitive language? What's the repetitive language? Want to give a go? It says he did not remember Yosef, but forgot him. So why is the Torah repeating itself? It's saying, he didn't remember Yosef, so he forgot him. If he forgot Yosef, he didn't remember him. It's one of the same language. You know, the Torah doesn't have any words here. This is in Bereishis, in Sefer Bereishis. What's the extra word here? Ask the Blujiva Rebbe. So he says, it's obvious that if the butler forgot Yosef, he didn't remember him like we just said. Yet, both verbs are used. Remembering and forgetting. Right? Liskor, lishkoach. So the Torah, in using this language, says the Blujiva Rebbe, is teaching us an extremely important lesson. One that I'd like to bring out from the Blujiva Rebbe in order to help us understand. The Blujiva Rebbe says, he's saying this to his Hasidim after surviving the war, and he says, there are events of such overbearing magnitude that one ought not to remember them all the time. But one must not forget them either. Such an event is the Holocaust. That's what he said. This liskor, this lishkoach. It's a complicated idea. We talk about it with Amalek, right? There's a mitzvah to remember Amalek. But then we say, Amalek yimach shemam, his name should be erased. And the Nazis yimach shemam, don't forget what happened. It seems like it conflicts, like it's a contradictive, I mean, it is seemingly. Well, that we're going to talk about a little bit before the war. So, before the war, there wasn't people were comfortable for the most part with what they had in the shtetl, like we saw many, many a times. And all these things, life wasn't so bad. It was bad, because it's always been bad for thousands of years with pogroms, and it's been a bell curve of good and bad times in history. But now things are really getting bad. And when things really begin to get bad, so there's two ways of approaching it. Either things are going to get really bad, or things are going to get better. And there's really different approaches that came through that I want to take a look at some of these approaches from inside the ghettos themselves to outside Poland and Eastern Europe in general. First I want to take a look at for those who know, if you don't, you should, the Eish Kodesh. And Eish Kodesh, if you've never heard of the Sefer, is a Sefer written by Kolon Miskalmish Piazetzna, okay? Chassidish Rebbe, a huge Chassidish Rebbe, he wrote, you know, some of the Sfarim he wrote, Chavos HaTalmidim, B'nei Machshav Tova, Derech HaMelech, I can go on. Probably his most famous probably being Chavos HaTalmidim of Yuna. So one of the Sfarim put together was Eish Kodesh. And Eish Kodesh is a Sefer that was Sichos given in the Warsaw Ghetto. Okay, he was taken to Warsaw. Piazetzner is not far from Warsaw. And he was taken to the Warsaw Ghetto. So, he didn't stop his job. Now, the only problem is it wasn't a shtetl of Piazetzner's and his Hasidim necessarily. But anyone who came to the drushos of the Rebbe on Shabbos. So there are different parts of the war where, remember, when a Rav gives a drusha, it's kind of a new thing in Israel, this pulpit rabbi, but you were the hope for your community. You told your community what to do. Your community said, you did. Unless as a full community, they were against you. And we know all these stories that happened of good and bad. But people looked and listened to your every word. And so what the Eish Kodesh here was doing, what the Piazetzner Rebbe, Hashem Yikom Damam, who's it's brought down that he was killed in Maidanek, murdered in Maidanek. And he tries to give everyone in the ghetto hope, time after time. Because what would you do if people were asking you questions? I mean, we're talking about families of already in the Warsaw Ghetto. Maybe they're the only ones left. They had definitely lost a brother. Everybody lost something already when he's talking in the Warsaw Ghetto. Everybody had lost some family member, including himself. Lost his wife and children before he was murdered, later on. But he tries to bring it home to them that there's still something. And Hanukkah, I believe of 1941, if not mistaken, he says this. He says, Elu anashim shomrim shiyisurim. This is in the middle of a sicha. I'm not going to give her all the sicha. There's a lot of sources here. But Elu anashim shomrim shiyisurim kmo elu odlo yisrael toim him. He says, the people who say that these terrible things going on right now, kmo elu, like the Warsaw Ghetto, like the Holocaust, od lo hayu Yisrael toim him, they're wrong. It's a mistake. They were Spanish Inquisitions. It was the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. As he says, b'Chorban Beis HaMikdash b'Beitar v'chulei hayu kmo elu. Thousands of Jews, even before that, in Egypt, it's the Jews, the Jewish people. This is another low point on the bell curve for the Jewish people, and will go up eventually. The only difference is that one year later, because already in the Warsaw Ghetto, there were rumors and there were things, but people didn't really believe or want to believe or understand, as it's difficult for us to understand what really was going on. Meaning, we can't even comprehend what mass murder is. We can go and we can, you know, we can feel and try and whatever. We can stand out in the middle of the winter cold all day, but we'll never be able to re-experience. And that's a good thing. We'll never be able to re-experience any of this. So there's actually a footnote in the Sefer from a year or two later, and he writes, Haggah, when I was writing this, it was only about the tzaros that are happening until 1941. Things have changed, things have got more difficult. And the way that they're even killing us and the amount has changed totally. They have this new way of murdering the Jews, the Jewish people. And I take back what I said. This is the worst thing that has ever happened to the Jewish people. Take back what I said. Okay? Now this part was a footnote. He didn't say this out. But when he was putting it in a sefer, he changed what he said. He changed for the future generations that they should know. But in giving over of his emunah, he did not say this. There's nowhere in the sefer, in the sicha, where he says to the kalal, to the kahal, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to you, to the Jewish people in general. No. He gives the Torah of Om Demalenu L'chaloseinu. The real question is where was the rest of the world also? That's really one of the bigger questions that's not answered so much because it brings up a lot of political whatever and people don't like to talk about it. Of our own personal countries, where was America that could have bombed the way to Auschwitz? As was shown, as that movie we saw. Where were this and that country and all these countries and I couldn't have saved every Jew, but even to save one train of Jews was a community. I'm saying like, that's it. Many communities. They just bound the tracks, put things out of order. You know, the Germans don't do well when things are out of order. They need exactness. And he brings down in Tavshin Beis in the same year in Parshas Chukas, he says, Pelehu. It's a crazy wonder. It doesn't make sense to me. Pelehu eicha olam omeid achar kokach haret zakot kailu. It's a wonder to me how the world could stand behind all this screaming and all the terribleness and all the death that's going on right now in the world. Okay, it's Chukas, so it's 1942 now. It just doesn't make sense to me, he says. And he says, Ba'asar harugi malchus, by the Asar, who's the Asar harugi malchus? Anyone know? Say it when? Talk about them what? Yom Kippur. Exactly. Kiva, and all these Asar harugi malchus who were murdered, cold blood, slowly. And it says, Ve'nemar she'tzaku malachim zu Torah v'suzchara. The Malachim were screaming Zutor of Suskar. The Malachim. Ante Basko Mishamayim, Basko came down with Shamayim. Imeshmo Kolacher, Efochet Alam Nemayim. And said, if I hear one more word, if there's one more tzaka, one more screaming, one more anything, one more ounce of wean of pain, I'm not going to be able to take it. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, and I'm going to turn this world to water. Which is what happened. When's the last time we turned the world to water? The Mabu. Noah destroyed the world. He almost went back on his promise. Kibiachal. He can't. And he says, Ve'eita yiladim tmimim. And now we're talking about pure children. Not necessarily malchus. Pure children. Malachim tahorim. The finest, purest people. It's a fine generation. The generation of Jews was a generation of tzaddikim, we know that. Gedolim. It wasn't like a torn generation. It was at least as good as every other generation. At least. For sure. Af gedolim kedoshi Yisrael, but there are gedolim hanaragim nishchatim rak b'shem Hashem Yisrael. And they're being murdered. Why? Not because they're gedolim, and not because they're good, and not because they're bad, and not because they're rabbis, but because simply they're B'nai Yisrael. They're Jews. And it doesn't make sense. And we know this. It was the whole idea of the Germans. If your grandfather was Jewish, you're not Jewish, and you've converted to Christianity, and now all of a sudden Hitler literally stamps you a Jew. He stamps you a Jew, and you're dead. It says the Gedolim, the Rishayim, the Misnagdim, the Chasidim, everyone's a Jew all of a sudden. And the entire Jewish people are screaming. And I don't get it how the world isn't turning to water. I don't get it why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not bringing another Mabel. I don't get it. It's as if It feels like our tzakot aren't going anywhere. Nothing's getting better. Nothing's getting easier. Even at the end of the war, when the Germans were being taken over finally and being pushed back, the lines were being pushed back, things were just getting more fast-paced with the killings of the Jews. More trains, more this, more that. At the end of the war, they'd destroy Hungary. The end of the war was even worse than the beginning of the war. You'd think it'd be the opposite. But it was getting faster. All this was to show the Jews there's no hope. There's nothing. Now, how are you supposed to have emuna in the Holocaust? I tell you, Baruch Hashem, I wasn't, but if Chas v'Shalom, Lo Aleinu, I was in the Holocaust, I don't think I... Number one, I don't think I'd make it through a day. Number two, maybe an hour, I don't think I'd make it through. Number two, I don't think... I would not be a Frum Jew. It wouldn't work for me that everyone around me is dying and I'm just going to be like, yeah, thanks God. It's a very difficult thing to contend with, to discuss, to talk about, to think about even. That's why on our trip, we don't say lama, we say lama. Because if we say lama, if we say why, then it's going to drive us up the wall. But if we say lama, we say, I don't know, but what can I do? What can I do from now? The Rav of Tzvi Leshem, who I still learn with, I was actually in Eish Kodesh with him. He, Rav in Efrat, and a long time ago, 25 years ago, he came to the yeshiva a lot, a huge, important yeshiva. So he, and Rav Hadari was Rosh Yeshiva. Everyone knows of Rav Hadari. He wanted to ask him a question that was bothering him. It was around Chanukah at the time. Around Chanukah time, he goes over to Rav Hadari, and I'm sure we've all heard Rav Hadari stories, and his answers aren't always clear to us. He's right downstairs. You can try. I recommend it. It'll be a good story for your kids. And he asks Rav Hadari, he says, it's around Chanukah time, he says, Rav Hadari, can you help me out? What's the reason for the Holocaust? I just don't understand. What, something, give me something. Now he looks at him. He says, what time of the year is it again? Come back in 2,000 years. And he walks away. Because only now we're finally figuring out why Hanukkah was happening and why these terrible things were happening to the Jewish people. And he's coming to him, 40 years after the war and saying, what's the reason? That's not in our place to ask. That's not in our place to know. Maybe one day Mashiach comes, the Kadosh Baruch Hu will add a parak to Tanakh, and we'll understand the reasons why, and there'll be mefarshim on the Holocaust. Maybe. It'll be interesting, for sure. But in the meantime, it's not in our place to ask why. It's in our place to know that whatever was done for the right reasons, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu chose to do so, because it's all kulo tov. But why? Are we a Kadosh Baruch Hu? Are we supposed to understand the Kadosh Baruch Hu? No, that's not our job. And like I said, in the words of the Ramchal, the more we begin to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more we begin to understand how much we don't understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now I'm going to move to another character, for lack of a better word, the tzaddik from the Holocaust was the Kloizenberger Rebbe. Anyone ever hear of the Kloizenberger Rebbe? Kloizenberger Rebbe. Start. Restart. Sanz. Kloizenberg. One of the tzaddikim of the previous generation. And the Sanz Rebbe, the Kloizenberger Rebbe. So, for those who know his story, I recommend that they sell two books of his. Pre-war, post-war. Out of this world, unbelievable. I recommend everyone read them. Really unbelievable stories. It's in English. And the most amazing thing to me about the Kloizenberger Rebbe was him during the war. Okay? 11 children, he was sent to the camps. Sent to, I believe it was Birkenau, I don't remember exactly where. read the story in a long time. But the Kleisenberger had something to himself that he told himself, just because of the Holocaust doesn't mean anything to me, because everyone's dying doesn't mean anything to me. I mean, it means a lot to me, but it doesn't mean anything to my Judaism. And nothing's changing. No halacha for me is changing. Okay? We all know that he was not mechoyev to do that. We're talking to the smallest thing. We're talking on Rosh Hashanah, he would get an apple and honey. Minhagim, we're talking about. The Kleisenberger Rebbe. Okay? This was the Kleisenberger Rebbe. Nothing can push the Judaism out of him. Okay? He was not mechoyev. Okay? He could have eaten treif. He made sure on Pesach. On Pesach, okay, he wouldn't eat anything that wasn't kosher to Pesach. He would give away his bread, and he would maybe, hopefully, find a potato that wasn't touched by anything, an uncooked one, okay, an uncooked potato, and he would already have done his own Haggadah Kelim somehow from some Polish man who traded this and that with, or a Jew who gave all of his Pesach bread for, and he would have a kosher vessel, and he would try and cook the potato in there. And that was his Pesach. Just to make sure that he wasn't going to be over on breaking Pesach. Okay? He did not have to do this. But he did do this. We know a lot of people who were like this. Mr. Weiser, right? Who was on the... He was a survivor who was with us, right? Those who weren't there. Grew up in Satmar. Young age, he went off. He survived the camps. But he said that there was like one pair of tefillin for thousands of people that was hidden in certain times during the day. And so he said that by his barrack, so there was in Buna, Auschwitz III. So they had one pair of armed tefillin. Okay? And in the a siding part, so they had the head tefillin sharosh. By him, there was the tefillin shayat. And he said the only time that it would work out that he would be able to put it on was at night. But he made sure that he would go in there, and he would put on the tefillin at night, and he'd wrap it, and he'd say Shema, and he'd unwrap it and give it to the next person. That makes no sense. He's putting his life on the line. It's not even a mitzvah. It's nighttime. It's not even a mitzvah. It's nighttime. I'll tell you one more story. My own grandfather, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Bernard Zesim over here, in Birkenau, okay, Pesach, another Pesach story. In Birkenau, he wanted to make Pesach. You can't make Pesach in Birkenau. There's no matzahs, okay? It's a story. One time they got a matzah and another one. We're not going to get into that story now. But he wanted to make Pesach. So what did he do? He traded with Polish whatever, and he got two things. He got a rotten potato, and he got a destroyed, weird-looking beet that he managed to trade. I don't know. He was a watchmaker in the camp, and he fixed the Germans' watches and jewelry and things like that. He was known as the Kufsmeister. And he would fix all these jewelries, so maybe he would be able to smuggle with some of these watches of dead Jews or some of these diamonds of dead Jews, get some food from Polish men who would come in and out of the camp. So he got this rotten potato and beet. Okay? He managed to smash the matzah as thin as possible, so it resembled a matzah, and he managed to crush the beet a tiny, tiny bit, as much as he could with whatever strength he had, in order so that he would get some type of juice that resembled wine. And that was his Pesach. Okay? If any of this, even a rumor got out that he was doing any of this, he would have been killed on the spot, no questions asked. Hung by the gallows, as many have seen those gallows in Auschwitz itself. Why would he do such a thing? Why would he do such a thing? It makes no sense. One more story even. My grandfather, after the war, he's living in Alabama, okay? He's on his way to shul for Shabbos. Shabbos started, or he's on his way back to shul from, back to home from shul on Shabbos, on Friday night, and he gets hit. Okay, he's already, this is post-war, he's destroyed from the war. He got hit many times, he got pulled out of firing lines, and he dug his way out of a mass grave, all these crazy things. And his body was destroyed. He was already in his 40s. And he gets hit hard. On his way home, he gets hit by a car, unfortunately. And it was bad. He was bleeding and broken bones and whatever. And they're about to get him into a car, take him to the hospital, which was about a mile away, excuse me. And they start to pick him up, and he sees the car, and he drops his body down. He's like, I'm not driving on Shabbos. Not happening. Sakonas nefashos, you have to drive on Shabbos. Meaning it's a mitzvah in that case to get yourself to the hospital as quickly as possible in order to save whatever medicine you can do in order to do what you can do. But he says, nope, not getting in the car. And he walks with two people on his arms. They walk a mile to the nearest hospital. And he wasn't fine after that. But there's this idea of emuna that really struck me so hard from so many of these stories. These are just some of the stories. These are the ones that are close to me. These are ones of people we know or knew. Of this idea between man, his relationship with God, and the mitzvahs, and that relationship with God. There's this idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to do a mitzvah. And if we do the mitzvah, we're doing the right thing, we're going in the way of God. And if we're not chayef to do the mitzvahs, so we don't do the mitzvahs. And there's this connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's set by laws. And then there's a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can run away as far as he can, as fast away from me as he wants, but I'm going to chase after him. It doesn't matter. I don't care if I'm not chayiv in tefillin at night, and it's only an arm tefillin anyways, and I pass an Ashkenaz, and it's ma'akev without the Rosh. I don't care. I'm going to put on tefillin. I'll show you God. I'm not going to break Shabbos. I'll show you God. I'm going to do it. It's this generation of this emunah that really blows my mind and pushes me forward so hard and so deeply of the difference between what we have to do and developing a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To not have him run away. Not just because we have to do something, do we need to do something. Not that any of these things should ever happen to us. We should eat treif, and we should do what's best for our bodies. But we should understand what it means to have a relationship with someone. And with someone even greater, to have a relationship with God. That just because he's running away from you does not mean that you should run away from him. And sometimes he dafka runs away to see if he chases after us. And that applies to us in yeshiva as well. So often, Kadosh Baruch Hu runs away from us. He makes us tired in the morning. He makes us not be able to understand the sugya. He decides that our brain doesn't work today. The question is, are we going to just sit back and say, I'm not chayef to be up anyways, it's post 10:30, it's night sitter anyways. Or, no, I'm going to chase after it. Even though I'm tired, I'll make myself a coffee. I'll find a way. And that's some of the emunah that, I could talk for days on end about this topic, different topics from the Holocaust, but we'll end on this one, and everyone should have a wonderful day. Shkoyach.